बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओके, इफ यू सी 25-33 ही इज इंक्वायरिंग अबाउट द जदूस, द डिफरेंट नेम्स आर मेंशन देयर, बिगिनिंग विद फर्स्ट इज बिगिनिंग विद elderly personalities like Shurasena, Vasudeva, all of them, aunts, Vasudeva's wives and his and their sons and daughters in law, and he's asking Ugrasena, Hridika, Kritavarma, Akrura, all elderly personalities first. Then he's asking about the younger ones, how is Balaram, Satvatam Prabhu, how is Pradyumna, Aniruddha, are they are faring well? And then he's asking about the commanders and chieftains and sons of Lord Krishna, like Samba and other people, Yadus. And then he's asking about Shrutadeva, Uddhava, Nanda, Sunanda and others, protected by Krishna and Balaram. Rama Krishna Bhujashrayaha, I think we will come to that verse. 30. So we'll recite that 34th verse. And in the 33rd verse, the Ramakrishna Bhujashraya comes. Those who have taken shelter of Balarama and Krishna, do they remember our welfare? So whenever we meet somebody, what to talk? Generally, sometimes people ask, how do we personally connect with people, with other, what is the subject matter to be talked, even amongst devotees. So, here we learn from Yudhishthira Maharaj, when somebody has gone to some place and come back, then you inquire about the personalities there, correct, no? Especially he has gone for 7 months and he has come back. So you will find that the Yadus were very dear to Pandavas and Pandavas were very dear to Yadus also. They both dynasties, they are very... because Krishna is not only the Lord for Pandavas, Krishna is also a cousin of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Krishna made the relationship even more tighter by giving his sister in marriage to Arjuna also. Then it becomes a very strong sambandha. Family sambandha is also there. Actually, it is Krishna's desire to increase and intensify his relationship with his devotees by making it more and more intimate. And he knows very well, in this world we all feel extra affinity for those who are having a blood relationship with us, like our sister or brother or husband, wife. Therefore, for his own intimate dear devotees, Krishna allows them to become his own wives or become his brother-in-law and become his friend, like that. But blood relationship, Krishna purposefully makes it in order to make it even more intimate feeling, correct? So naturally, the Yadu dynasty and Pandava dynasty have a very strong connection. So when somebody, like for example, some devotee has gone to Calcutta or Kanpur and he has lived there 4-5 months. And or when those devotees come here, when you meet, what will you talk? Here is a clue given. One asks questions about the welfare of personalities, beginning from the elderly person down to younger ones. And then while asking such a question, it gives the opportunity for the other person to share something wonderful. Like you meet, say, Achyutamohan Prabhu, or you meet Premaranam Prabhu, or you meet some, or Kurma Avatar Prabhu, or say you meet Vikram Garang Prabhu. So if you ask questions like this, then he will tell you different things about different person. He may tell you about Devikanandan Prabhu, he may tell you about Premaranam Prabhu, he may tell you about Achyutamohan Prabhu and Neelamani, what is his name? Neelamani Krishna Prabhu, they put up a festival there, like you all call it, in Pune we call it Drishti, they put it expression. So he'll tell you about some of the expression items. If you meet Adishyam Prabhu, he'll tell you about the kitchen, what developments they have done, how they are serving devotees wonderfully. They will tell you some things which may be happening there and not happening here. Correct, no? From which we can learn also. They have come up with one new system for fundraising there. In Kanpur, for example, it's very simple. You become a folk member of the temple. So beginning with, I think, 200 is the minimum, And then you can give 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 or a lakh also. Something monthly. So it's like Nityasava kind of thing only, but they are going to make a lakh members eventually. So and they have launched it in a very powerful way. You will see that. So sometimes they may share about some of their preaching. Sometimes they may share about some of the developments. Sometimes they may share about their joys and sorrows. If they are very close to you, they may share also. And they may sometimes ask you, how you do this here? There we are not able to do. They may ask you questions, which gives you opportunity for you to share also. So generally in people, like you will find in Kurukshetra, when many relatives, friends, everybody meets there, you will find Draupadi is meeting the queens of Dwaraka. And she is asking them about how each of you ladies, how did you attain Krishna as your husband? So, which means how did you become Krishna conscious? Rukmini, tell your story. Mitravinda, you tell your story. Satya, you tell your story. Like Kalindi, Satyabhama. So each of them are sitting in a circle and they are all narrating how Krishna came in their life and they attained Krishna as their husband. So while the ladies are talking in one side like that, our Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula Sahadev, they are all meeting the other warriors. They may be asking, what is the latest weapon you have? What is the latest territory that you conquered? Like you may ask a preacher, Prabhu, which is the new college you have started preaching? Isn't it? Or what is the new program that you have put up? What's new? So they are all talking. And Krishna is meeting the sages. Sages and saintly persons, they are all gathering at one place. So Krishna goes there and he is offering his obeisances to them. And also they are speaking something very philosophical. That's where Krishna told there was Yasyatma Buddhir Kunapetri Dhatuki. There only he says. So he is telling them something very amazing, philosophical things. He is sharing also like that. So the Vrijabhasis were there also. Now Vrijabhasis, like Nanda Baba, Yashoda, they are all meeting Vasudev, that kind of aged people. So the senior citizens meet senior citizens. Young warriors meet young warriors. Ladies meet other ladies. Kids meet other kids. And Krishna meets the saintly persons and other people who are very eager to have his darshan and meet him and hear something from him. He is meeting. So in this way, everybody is meeting somebody of their, matching. And then naturally they will talk, this kind of talk will happen. You share with us. So inquiring about the various personalities, their health, their well-being, their achievements, accomplishments, their outstanding contribution, or the developments they have done, talking about this. And then that immediately increases our love and respect for them. Correct, no? How something wonderful they have done. So in this way, here also you find Vishnu Maharaj is inquiring about the Yadus in this verse. And in the 33 verse, he is saying that Rama and Krishna, Bhujashraya, the Yadus have taken shelter of Krishna and Balram's protection. Do they remember us? Like that he is asking. And then come to the 34th verse. Bhagavan api Govindo Brahmanyo Bhaktavatsalaha Kachit Pureso Dharmayam Sukhamaste Sukhrit Vrataha. Translation.
Hare Krishna. Is Lord Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarakapuri, surrounded by friends?
Yeah. Yeah. See, in that purport, there are some important points. After a few lines, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna, he is Govinda. Why? Because he is the pleasure of the cows and senses. Those who have purified the senses by the devotion of the Lord can render unto him real service and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. See, the first step is we have to render devotional service. When we do that, what happens? The senses become purified. And when the senses become purified, then with purified senses, when you render service, that is called real service. So initially we do service to purify our senses. And with purified senses when you render service, that is called real service, because it is loving devotional service. Earlier what we did, was it loving devotional service? May not be. Because sometime you might have done, because it's a dutiful devotional service. So when we do dutiful devotional service, senses become purified. With purified senses when you render service, it's a loving devotional service, real service. And that real service gives transcendental bliss to the senses, he says. Somebody may ask, Prabhuji, you are calling Krishna as Govinda. He gives pleasure to senses, but I don't feel any pleasure. Why? You don't feel? What is the reason? Senses are not pure. So if senses are not pure, what to do? Render dutiful devotional service. Then what will happen as a result of that? Senses become purified. So with purified senses, when we render devotional service, that is real devotional service. Like the Prabhupada writes. What is considered as impure senses, can you say? When are the senses considered impure? Cannot relish service to Krishna. Okay, what else? When the senses are trying to enjoy false pleasures. See, Prabhupada writes here. Illusioned by false pleasures of the senses, one becomes a servant of the senses, a slave of the senses, like the Prabhupada writes. So this is the first step in this material world. When we walk in this material world, we are attracted to the illusory pleasures. Which means, for example, many students were eating meat before. But after becoming devotee, now they consider it so horrible. How can we eat meat? How can we drink wine? How can we smoke? How can we have illicit connections like this? This is impure. They understand it. But at that time, they were not knowing it is impure. Correct, no? So it's called false pleasure. False pleasure means it's like imaginative pleasure. It's like licking the honey bottle from outside, not drinking the actual honey. Because this is only reflection pleasures, you know, pratibimba. So when people try it with the senses, struggling after the, like a moth entering fire, on one hand, they don't get real pleasure. On the other hand, they get roasted like the moth. They get suffering also. And they really do not understand what is transcendental pleasure. Correct, no? So this is the impure status of mind. I mean, the mind and senses, like the Prabhupada says. So one should give up the false pleasure of the senses. So 99.9% of the population is chasing after false pleasure of the senses. Correct, no? And then, like the chewing gum, after in the beginning when you eat, how is the chewing gum? The smell, fragrance also is nice. Taste also comes in the tongue. But within a short time, it becomes pale. There's no more attraction. And then people keep chewing it as a style, fashion only. Correct? No? Cricketers, you know, they while bowling the ball, they just keep chewing stylishly because they can look in the camera very stylish. Otherwise, there's no flavor at all. So that's called punaha punaha charvitam. Chewing gana. Correct, na? Correct. So in this way, that kind of false pleasure one gets, one is again and again trying to find out some or other can I enjoy. So he is saying that if we pursue the false pleasure, our senses will remain impure. But if one at least believes in the Vaishnava gurus, preachers and acharyas, okay, let me try in the right direction. So that is called dutiful devotional service. So at that time what happens to us? We do a little bit dutiful devotion service and we also a little bit enjoy false pleasure also, because we have little hope there also. And we have to get kicks also there. Little endeavor and little kicks also there, and little dutiful devotion service also. Both are going on. And then gradually what happens when you do dutiful devotion service, senses gradually get purified. To the degree the senses are purified, the bliss will proportionately come. Because Krishna's formula is ye tamam prapadyante. Correct, no? So Krishna is a very good banker. Huh? Of course, initially he will give you ye tamam prapadyante. But if you become very sincere, then Krishna, if you take one step, Krishna will take 10 steps. Huh? Like that, his thing changes. Like some companies, you know, initially you take some shares and everything. You are allowed to be a part of the shareholders. But if you give a big share, then you become one of the partners only in the company. Correct, no? Imagine if company is a 100 crore company and you give 50 crore. Huh? Then the company says you become a partner of the company. You are not just a shareholder, isn't it? Similarly, if a devotee's contribution to Krishna becomes very visible to Krishna, and Krishna finds that the devotee is fully surrendering to me, then he gives himself utterly to the devotee, like that. Huh? So in this way, then the devotee's proportion of bliss experienced by the devotee is oceanic. Like, therefore he is called Govinda. Another meaning of the word Govinda means he is protector of the cows and Brahminical culture. Prabhupada speaks about that. Then if you see 3-4 lines below, Prabhupada is giving a list of the good qualities. Truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge, transcendental knowledge, firm faith in Vedic wisdom. All these things, if you have, one can become a Brahmana. And then you can see the Lord. But after surpassing the Brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord, Vaishnava, so that his loving affection in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son and lover can be transcendently achieved. So Prabhupada is distinguishing between Brahmana and Vaishnava here. Mm. Yeah. And 3-4 lines below Prabhupada is saying, since Lord is all perfect in Himself, there could not be any question about His welfare. Did Vishnu Maharaj ask, how is Krishna doing? Is He happy? Is it a meaningful question? He is always happy. He can never be unhappy. While dancing on Kaliya's heads, Krishna is happy and smiling. In Kurukshetra battlefield, he is smiling also. Prahasanniva Bharata. On the other hand, you find Arjuna, he is weeping. Yeah. Yeah. So you find, so Arjuna is weeping, Krishna is smiling even in a battlefield. So Krishna is smiling everywhere because he is always happy. Then how can you ask the question, is Krishna happy? Therefore he asked him a question, is Krishna in the assembly of his ministers, in the Sudharma parliament, you know, happy? Like that he asked. That question he asked. He is saying here, since the Lord is all perfect in himself, there could not be any question of his welfare. And used to refrain from asking this question. He simply inquired about his residential place, Dwarakapuri, where pious men assemble. The Lord stays only where pious men assemble and takes pleasure in their glorifying the Supreme Truth. So it's another point Prabhupada says, when Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta, Tatra Drishtami Narada. Like that he says. So, in this way he is asking about welfare of Krishna in this. The welfare of Krishna along with his associates and everybody. Is he happily situated in the assembly hall in Dwaraka? Either he is asking. Now after asking all these questions, ultimately he is coming to Krishna. He is asking about Krishna. See, in the 35th verse, we will recite the 35th verse. Mangalaya cha lokanam, kshemaya cha bhavaya cha, आस्ते यदु कुलां भोदाव आद्यो अनंत सकह पुमान. See, Mangalaya means for giving prema. Kshemaya means for giving liberation. Bhavaya means material welfare. See, material welfare, see here, material welfare, liberation, prema. Say the three words, what is this one? What is it? Sanskrit. Bhavaya. And this one, liberation? Kshemaya. And for prem? So, kshemaya means liberation. Liberation from material suffering and everything. But mangalaya means holy. That is actually prem. Love for Krishna. Like that, Chakravarti Thakur has given this. And Ananta Sakaha means he's with the help of Balaram, he is given. So in the is the first person, Krishna, with the help of Balaram, residing happily in the ocean of Yadu family, for giving prema, liberation and prosperity to the people. Like that he is asking. And then he is glorifying the Yadavas. The 36th verse, he is telling about how the Yadavas are so powerful. We will recite the 36th verse. Yad Bahudanda Guptayam Swapuryam Yadavorchitaha Kridanti Paramanandam Mahapaurshikaiva. Yes, translation.
The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balarama, the primeval Lord Ananta, are staying in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty for the welfare, protection and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying life like the residents of the spiritual sky.
Yeah, and the purport, if you see, 3-4 lines below, Maharaj Yudhishthira has compared the Yadu dynasty to the ocean of milk, and Balaram to Ananta, and Krishna to Narayana, who is sleeping on Balaram, Ananta. He has compared the citizens of Dwaraka to the liberated inhabitants of the Vaikuntha Lokas. Beautiful, no? That's a nice analogy, isn't it? So the whole Dwaraka Yadu dynasty is compared to what? The ocean of milk. And the facilities, like the palaces, gardens, ponds, archways, bridges, and all these things are compared to the ocean of milk. And in that, the people who are living there are like sharks, correct? Are the dolphins living in the ocean. They are compared to that. And Balaram is compared to Anantashesh. And Krishna is like the Narayana, who is residing, relaxing there. So in this way, he has made a very beautiful analogy, you see. And then in the two lines from bottom, Prabhupada says, Maharaj Yudhishthira has compared the inhabitants of Dwaraka to the Mahapaurishikas of Vaikuntha Loka, because they are so happy with the Lord. They are always happy with the Lord in the kingdom of God. So they are called Mahapaurishika. Now, Mahapaurishika is actually in Vaikuntha Loka, how happily the Vaikuntha Vasis are flying from one place to another, and they are always absorbed in service. They are absorbed in singing the glories of the Lord. They are absorbed in playing instruments. They are absorbed in rendering services, and they get to see the Lord face to face. It is said whenever in Vaikuntha the Lord comes out, immediately he is surrounded by his associates, like when he goes to see Chatushkumara. So in the same manner, Krishna is the most beautiful Lord of Dwaraka, and he is always seen surrounded by his associates, whether he is at his own individual palaces or when he is going to the Sudharma assembly every day. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is picturizing in his mind about how all the Yadavas must be living like that. And then he is saying that the Lord's presence is taking care of all the three: Mangalaya, Kshemaya and Bhavaya. Mangalaya cha lokanam, Kshemaya cha Bhavaya cha. Asti Yadukulam Bhoda. So the Supreme Lord is there in Dwaraka. Why? For doing these three things: Mangalaya, to give prema to the people, to his bhaktas, and Kshemaya, liberation to the jnanis, and he is also giving material prosperity. Everything comes from him. His mere presence, and he is also along with him, is Ananta Shesha. And all the Dwarakavasis are Mahapaurushika. Such a beautiful analogy. And in the previous verse, 34, he told about how Krishna is always a well-wisher of the Brahminical culture. And he is the one who gives pleasure to the... See, the word Govinda has multiple meanings. One meaning is one who gives pleasure to the cows. Another meaning is one who gives pleasure to senses, or one who gives pleasure to the earth. Earth is also called go. So in this way, And Krishna giving pleasure to senses is very beautifully explained by Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that Arjuna was weeping in the beginning. What that was? Pujarha Varisudana. What that was? Katam Bhishmamaham Sankhye Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishubi Pratiyotsyami Pujarha Varisudana. You know what is he saying? Katam Bhishmamaham Sankhye. How can I kill Krishna, this great grandsire who is Bhishma? You are asking me to become Drona Sudana and Bhishma Sudana, and you are yourself called as Madhusudana. You see, you only kill demons and you make me kill such great souls. What kind of logic is this? Why don't you are a Madhusudana. If you want to become, you become Bhishma Sudana or Drona Sudana, and you leave me, I am out. I want to quit the battle, like that Arjuna is telling. Katam Bhishma Maham Sankhye Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishubi Pratiyotsyami Pujarha Varisudana. He is telling, these personalities, you can't even go for a verbal battle with them. What to speak of a physical battle killing them? This just, I cannot even imagine about it, like that he is telling. So there Prabhupada explains, Nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushnim babubaha, he says. It comes in that verse. Kim no rajena govinda kim bhogair jivitena va yeshamarte kankshitam no rajyam bhogha sukhani cha. Like that it goes on. It goes on like that. And then he says, Nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushnim babubaha, he's saying. Nayotsya. I will not fight. Iti uktva. Saying like this, Tushnim, silent, Babuvaha. He fell silent. I will not fight the battle. So there Prabhupada is saying, this fellow Arjuna wanted Krishna to please his senses. And he was arguing with Krishna that, you know, you are called Govinda, why are you not pleasing my senses? Prabhupada said, your senses are not obedient to Krishna. Right now they are disobedient. So to expect Krishna to please your senses while you are having disobedient senses is foolishness. Krishna pleases the senses of those who obey him. Making our senses obey Krishna is called Bhakti Yoga. Correct? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchate. So there are two stages in Bhakti Yoga. One is Vaidhi stage, one is Raganuka stage. In Vaidhi stage, we have impure senses. Make your mind and senses obey Krishna, then they become purified. And in purified stage, you know, engage your senses in Krishna's service, you feel boundless bliss. Like that. So that is Raganuga stage. So there Prabhupada explains, don't call Krishna as Govinda. And therefore uses the word Govinda. You know, he's saying, you know, Kim no rajena Govinda kim bhogar jivitena va. He's saying, if I finish all these fellows, to whom can I show off that I have achieved so much kingdom? So much riches, there will be nobody for me to show. So how will I be able to enjoy life, he's asking. So Prabhupada condemns Arjuna's mentality of enjoyment there. He says, you think you will enjoy, you should not try to enjoy. You should try to give enjoyment to Krishna, as the Prabhupada says. So therefore Prabhupada clarifies his word Govinda here very beautifully. So what that was? Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. Tatparatpera nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti. After we become nirmal, what we engage in bhakti, that is real bhakti, he says. Right now we are doing something like imitation bhakti. When it becomes, senses are purified, then real bhakti will come at that time, like that. So in this way, Lord Govinda, how he is protector of cows, Brahminical culture and giver of pleasure to our spiritual senses, or spiritualized senses, we can say. Our spiritualized senses can also experience bliss. When we hear the pastimes of the Lord, we can experience great bliss. We can imagine, see, right now we have not yet become purified. Even now, when we hear the pastimes of Krishna or pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we feel some kind of, at least a pond of ecstasy. You can't say river of ecstasy or ocean of ecstasy. At least a pond or a small well of ecstasy coming up in this stage. So by this little bit feeling of ecstasy when we hear the pastimes, this can give us a clue that what will happen if we become fully purified. Correct, no? If our senses are fully purified, what kind of boundless... When Uddhava heard one question from Vidura, he fainted. Just one question only he heard. Vidura asked, you know, I am on a pilgrimage now, I come and met you. You know, can you please tell me something about Lord of Dwaraka? Thak, immediately fell down, unconscious, next moment. And then slowly he got up and returned to external consciousness. And whatever he spoke in ecstasy. Great ecstatic love, Uddhava spoke. You can see, because they are experiencing, they are such great devotees are knocked down by spiritual bliss. Like that. So Lord Govinda floods their heart with varieties of his names, forms, qualities and pastimes. As we will see in the next chapter, how Arjuna, you know, will profusely continues a stream of tears, profuse tears, and remembering Krishna on one hand, and profusely shy, you know, crying tears. You will see that. Because Lord is flooding their hearts with boundless bliss. Because their senses are fully purified. So, if we want purified senses, there are four stages. Impure senses, semi-pure senses, purified senses, spiritualized senses. So let us see how each of it is achieved. Impure senses, how is it achieved? Is it very difficult to achieve? This is default platform, impure senses, isn't it? How to achieve impure senses? Karanam guna sangosya sadasat yoni janmasu. Correct, no? Simply do sangha with three gunas. You will get beautiful impure senses, which will give solid kicks, suffering in this world, which everybody has in this world, impure senses. And the problem with impure senses is the impure senses attract impurity more and more. So we have to hear from great souls and then we come to a semi-pure state. Semi-pure senses, what they do? They are partially attracted to Krishna, partially attracted to Maya. Sometimes Maya, sometimes Krishna. They are semi-pure. Purified senses means sattva-guna. What that was? Raga-dvesha-vimukta-istu-bhushi-yanindriya-charan atma-vashyair-videhi-atma-prasadam-adhikacchati prasade-sarva-dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. He says, prasanna-cheta-shohi-yashu-buddhi-paryavatishtate. He is telling that if you attain the prasad of the Lord by controlling the mind and senses and directing them in the right direction, what will happen? You will get prasad. And then when you get prasad, what will happen? Mercy. Prasad is sarva-dukkhanam. So purified senses lead to knowledge and happiness, as I told you, and detachment. Already I told you before. That is purified senses. That means the one more interesting thing with purified senses, they will find lesser engagements abominable. Like imagine, if any of you are sitting here, you are eating meat before. Now you have given up. Now if somebody gives you meat in a plate, how will you feel it? Abominable. Tasteless, isn't it? Bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishthivanam cha. You feel like that. You will spit at the very thought of it. Correct, no? So in the same manner, purified senses, they capture purity, pure things. Sattvic ahar, sattvic sights, sattvic engagement. Like in a, to sit in a class like this, 3-3, 3-3, 4-4 hours, if you bring a new boy and put him here, he will be knocked down. Like we had once about 500 boys, 400-500 boys for a camp. Some or other, some of our boys caught some boys and brought, I don't think they are qualified for that camp. Sometimes they bring, Sphurti or Utkarsh, they bring a boy. This boy was in jeans and t-shirt. Practically he lied down, he went to sleep practically. After 1 hour of the class, 1 hour he tried to understand. Nothing entered. So he lied down practically. And other friends are saying, hey, usko utao, usko utao. Then they got him up, then he slept on the other side. He slept. Went to sleep. It's not very easy to sit and listen. When senses become more and more purified, then we are able to connect with the knowledge. But there is some problem with this knowledge. Knowledge makes us proud. Therefore, we are brought down to Rajaguna. You see? That's the problem. And this sukham, the happiness we get from Sattvaguna, also makes us complacent. Again, we come to Tamaguna. You know? So, Tamaguna means we become lazy and complacent. And when knowledge makes us proud, we come to Rajaguna. So, in this way, again, Rajas and Tamas captures us. You see? Therefore, we suffer in this world. So, one should keep oneself in Sattvaguna and acquire knowledge and happiness and not become proud and not become complacent. Correct, no? So, to not become proud, we should, on a practical platform, do humble devotional service. Humble seva bhav, we call it. Humble service attitude. Correct, no? And to not become complacent, we have to be strict in our sadhana. So, strictness in sadhana will rise us above complacency. And humble service attitude will not make us proud. When we combine these two, then we can keep ourselves in Sattvaguna for a prolonged period of time. Therefore, the morning program, which is a strict sadhana program, plus rendering menial services to devotees, to Krishna and Guru, those menial services will be best to us, humble service attitude. You combine these two, then we can be in Sattvaguna. And while when we are in Sattvaguna, we will enjoy three benefits I told you. Knowledge, happiness and detachment. So, of course, in Sattvaguna, when we do devotional service, we experience these three. And in this way, our senses will rapidly become purified. And then they will always seek pure engagements. Like Prabhupada says, the swans want to live in clean water, whereas the crows want to live in a dustbin with a lot of nasty smelling garbage. Like that. So we'll become like swans, not like crows, you see. So what we read, what we hear, what we sing, what we relish, what we remember, what we repeat, it'll all depend on what we connect with, you see. So in this way, Bhagavan Govinda, Lord Govinda will flood our heart with bliss when we purify ourselves and elevate ourselves like this. And then the fifth theme is Krishna's glories and influences that we already discussed. His influences that Chakravarti Thakur has especially mentioned this point that defeating the devatas. This is in 37th verse, if you see. Let us go one by one. The first point explained about the Yadavas is Mahapaurushikaha, and they are like Vaikuntha Vasis. And then he is using the word Tridashan. That means they defeated the devatas also. And then Chakravarti Thakur says, defeating devatas means defeating through the strength of Krishna. Because they are under Krishna's custody, they had the guts to even defeat the devatas and bring the Parijata flower from the... Of course, defeating devatas means bringing the Sudharma assembly from there. Can you go to somebody's place and capture a whole building and take it to another place? They could do that because they were supported by Krishna. And the demigods couldn't say no because they knew that the master of the universe has descended in Dwaraka. So demigods said, okay, you can take it. You know, because Lord is going to use it. So they allowed also. So the Yadus were very powerful. Similarly, Tadashishaha, the word is used in 37th verse, means Parijata and other things. Like that he is saying. And then in the next verse, 38th verse, Yadu Bahu Dandabhyu, Dandabhyu Dayanu Jivino. So in that verse, he says, Bahu Dandabhyu Dayanu Jivinaha means those who subsist on the strength of his arms. Yadbahu danda byudayanu jivino yadu pravira hyakuto bhayamuhu adhikraman pyangribir ahritam balat sabham sudharmam surasattamochitam. Translation?
The great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Shri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect. And therefore, their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best demigods deserved, but which was taken away from them.
Yeah, correct. So in this way, these are the Krishna's glories and influences, correct, over the whole universe. Huh? So the Yadavas were... So what was the analogy given? Beautiful analogy was given. What is compared to the milk ocean? Yadava dynasty, yeah. And the Yadavas are compared to powerful sharks and timigalas. Huh? And Ananta is compared to Ananta Shesha. And Lord Krishna is residing in Dwaraka. He is like the Narayana. So in this way, the Yadupuri is very beautifully described by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Huh? In this way, first he inquired about them. Now the second thing is inquiring, Arjuna, is about the 11 causes of dejection. Huh? I have written 10. We'll find out one more is there, I think, okay, 11, I think. So 11 causes of dejection, beginning from the 39th verse. Huh? And His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj, you know, he produced one book called as the Srimad Bhagavatam in Practice. In this, I found one article on the 11 causes for dejection. The same section is explained here. So I'm going to share some points from here, very valuable points. We can use it in our life. For example, the 39th verse, he says, he's asking Arjuna about the... So there are 2 points here out of the 11. When your health is not good, then you have dejection, moroseness. Mind is always worrying, how, you know, when will I get fully well, isn't it? Then we feel, once the health concern is gone, you are healthy, then you feel very cheerful also. How many of you agree our mind is affected by health? Correct, no? That is true, yeah. Isn't it? Like you see, we were sitting in the train yesterday, you know, the side berth, they have the seat like this, you know that? If you put 2 seats, they come like this. So one seat was like this, another seat was like this. So one man was sitting here, keeping his leg in the front like this. But here you are supposed to put one lever to hold this. But somebody had not put that lever. So this seat fell. And that all it fell. So it fell in his leg. And suddenly he tried to go behind, but then his nail got cut off. It came out like this. Ah, and it was bleeding. Then I told, aapko haldi dalna chahiye aapko. Nahi na, you are selling. Yeah. Then fortunately, Sujit Prabhu got a haldi and ran. Yeah. He came and he put a bandage immediately for him. So he was very grateful, thankful. But I saw his face, how cheerful it was before, now how morose it became. I wanted to click a photograph. I saw that. Yeah, before and after. See, now we have put haldi and he personally nursed him. He tied his, you know, that thumb nicely. Then I told him, Babi, kuch chinta nahi hai, bhul jaiye isko. I told him, don't worry. The haldi is there, it will do the work. And you go to the doctor and you can nurse, you know, get it nursed and everything. But still I could see, again and again he said, and then the person who was the owner of the seat came there. Sorry, he was saying. सारी बोलने से क्या होता पहले आपको ऐसा नहीं रखना था आपको धड़ाल करके गिरता अगेन एंड अगेन ही वाज सेलिंग फ्यू टाइम्स करेक्ट ना सो यू फाइंड दैट वी बिकम मोरोज फॉर स्मॉल प्रॉब्लम्स आल्सो यू हैव सीन ना ए लिटिल हेडेक लिटिल फीवर वी कैन नॉट टेक इट लिटिल यूर फिंगर नेल कॉट कट आर समथिंग लाइक दैट सो एज सून एज अवर हेल्थ इज इन लिटिल ट्रबल इमीडिएटली it goes to the mind. So this is the first cause he's saying. So he's asking, my dear brother Arjuna, please tell me whether your health is all right. That's the first thing he's asking. Because you don't look very cheerful. You look little unhealthy. He's asking. Then he's saying, you appear to have lost your bodily luster. Is this due to others disrespecting you or neglecting you because of your long stay at Dwaraka? See, sometimes when one stays too long, more than the expected, like somebody may go to some relative's home, they generally want to know, whether you are 2 days or 3 days or 5 days or 1 week. Basically, they want to know how long you will stay. Like, you know that Dhananjay, Prahara Dhananjay, isn't it? They were staying months together, correct, no? So, then one may not get the same respect what one got before. When people are very excited when you go newly. Like, how many of you got very special respect when you went to another temple, not your own temple? In your own temple, correct, no? You get a lot of respect when you go to another temple. Devotees treat you transcendentally, correct? Then you understand, now I understand what is transcendental devotional service. How they give me garland, they take me to room, they feed me prasad, sit with me and speak sweet words. All their words are only full of praises only. Fortunately, they are unaware of my problem, you know, problematic situations. So one devotee was telling me, Prabhuji, I simply want to go one temple to another. And, you know, be blissfully situated. But in your temple, when your own equal friends, other people come, aa gaya kya? They will ask them, so gaya kya? Isn't it? You may feel, sometimes you may feel that due to over-familiarity, adiparachyat, avajnat. So we take, so he is saying, if you stay too long in Dwaraka, maybe Pradyumna Aniruddha, you became too familiar with them. Correct, no? So actually we have to have respectful dealing with one another in such a way that we don't take one another cheaply. At the same time, we are not so formal that we can't open up hearts to each other. Correct, no? So there has to be a balance in this. So he is asking that, disrespecting and neglect is not the same. See, not somebody is not respecting you, it is not disrespect. Disrespect means speaking some harsh words to you. So, and somebody not respecting means they are neglecting you or ignoring you, or probably they are busy with something else. They may not be disrespecting you necessarily. So, therefore, here Chakravarti Thakur's translation, what he says, 39. See, he's saying, are you healthy? You appear to me to have lost your effulgence. Staying away so long, were you not given proper respect? Or were you disrespected by your friends? He's asking. Not given proper respect means they did not follow all the codes of conduct of respect. For example, some place you went, you know, they offered you obeisances. And then everybody was running here and there. Nobody asked you, who are you, where have you come from? They saw you, you were doing obeisances, so they did obeisances and they went away. You know? And then you wonder, what temple is it? They are not. And then one devotee comes and says, Prabhuji, you know, you come from another place, come here. He takes you to the ashram and puts you there and shows the bathroom and goes away. Now you've taken bath, nobody is giving you prasad, and you are shy. Can I go to the kitchen and take or not? Correct, no? So in, sometimes you feel that last 2 hours I have not eaten anything and nobody is asking me whether I have eaten or not. Some shy people feel problem like this, correct, no? So you feel that you are not sufficiently respected or attended to, you feel. Whereas disrespect means insulting words. He is saying like that. Yeah. You are not respected by your friends, or more than that, disrespected by them, he says. So, he is saying that, Mahavishnu Maharaj says an interesting thing. What he says, we disrespect others because we think we are going to be here forever, he says. I told you that story of that wet cow dung and dry cow dung, correct? No? What did the wet cow dung think? I am going to be wet forever. And he was joking at the dry cow dung that you are going to be put in the fire. Similarly, young people think the old people are getting older. But they don't know, they will also get old, isn't it? Like once Prabhupada was lying in the bed, and one devotee came to Prabhupada. You know, slowly he took the hand of Prabhupada and kept it here. And Prabhupada's hands were shaking like this, and he kept it here. Both hands kept. And Prabhupada was breathing slowly. And the devotee looked at Prabhupada. And with like this, because Prabhupada's body was like a bag of bones only. He was very soft body, soft skin, and very invalid body. And when he was taking Prabhupada, slowly getting up Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked at the devotee's eyes and said, don't think this will not happen to you. Either Prabhupada said, even at that time he was preaching. He is using his invalidity to preach. Don't think this cannot happen to you. That's the same point. Everybody has to become older. Eventually the body gets older one day. So that's one point he is saying. When one thinks that I am cute, I am young, I am smart, I am healthy. This is a very imaginative feeling. It's only a matter of time. You will find when people get older, when they get 70, 80, something comes in the body. Either some suddenly kidney is not working, or sometimes, you know, the heart artery gets blocked. Somebody gets a heart attack. Somebody's brain hemorrhage. Somebody gets a stroke or something like that. Somebody's intestines are not working. Something goes wrong somewhere in the body. Sometimes there's a multiple organ failure also. All of them, you know, boycotting together. Now all of us will not cooperate with you. So, like Prabhupada in one of the lectures, he said, there is a disease called uremia. Uremia means urine is formed inside, but it doesn't come outside. So it remains in the bladder. You want to pass. When you go to the bathroom and try to pass, little bit comes out, and a few drops come. Fully it doesn't come, but it is inside. So one has to then take it out by injection or something from the bladder, or they put this catheter and all that they call it. Artificial means one has to take it out. So Prabhupada says it's a very... Prabhupada says in old age when you come, you will understand how horrible is this body. It gives multiple complications in this body. Therefore one should... So he says that one should never think this world is permanent, I'll be happy here forever. Then we will be able to respect all living entities. I am also suffering, you are also suffering. You may be a little older than me, but everybody is suffering in this world, and we all have to quit this world. Another thing he says is, if somebody disrespects you, okay, before disrespect, let us talk about neglect. If somebody neglects you, can you say how you should save yourself from being neglected by others? That's a solution he gives. Anybody? Yes. He is saying, you go and speak to people and how to serve, he is saying. He says another thing. What he says, to avoid neglect to ourselves, we should never take help from others unnecessarily, he is saying. Because if you seek help from others, once or twice they will do. For example, once group of people were passing through the Pune station. They wanted some prasad, you know. 20 people they said. So our devotees gave. Another time the same group came with 80 people, our devotees gave. Third time they wanted for 200 people. So our people didn't give, they gave them another phone number. They asked, what is it? Is it manager? They said, no, you call, you will come to know. So they gave a call, it was a caterer. It was a caterer. So they were told that you take... Because when you seek too many favors from others, then you will be neglected. Or whenever we seek favors, then we have to reciprocate back. Like that. So when you reciprocate back in some way, while seeking favors, then you will see that they will again and again want to help you. Correct? Huh? But all of you think for a moment, what help did you take from somebody and you never reciprocated in any way? So we have to think about it. So in this way, he says that to avoid neglect ourselves, we should never take help from others unnecessarily, he says. It doesn't mean you can't take help. You can take help, but unnecessarily for... Like one example I'll tell you. One day you were taking bath. You told the devotee, Prabhuji, prasadam will get over. Can you please arrange for 6 chapatis, sabji and rice dal? If you can just make a plate and keep it near my locker, Prabhu, I'm going for a bath, if you say. Is it all right to request a devotee, friend? How many of you say it's all right? Yeah, it's perfectly all right. Now the devotee brought for you. Next day, you are sitting near your locker and doing some reading. And prasadam time, all devotees are going. Prabhuji, yesterday you did wonderful service. Can you bring it today also? He may do it today also. Correct, no? Now, 3 days he did. Fourth day, you tell him that, Prabhuji, every day if you can keep it, now I'll be thankful to you. Will he do? What he will say? He will not say no, but he will give some other excuse. No, Prabhuji, I am busy, I am... Correct, no? So that is why this is called taking help unnecessarily. Unnecessarily means too much help. Once in a while you seek help, it's all right. Then you will never be neglected. If any of you sitting here, you feel neglected, this point we should pay attention. That means we are too much delegating our personal services to others. Another thing is disrespect. If somebody insults you or disrespects you, you know what to do? Powerful solution is giving. Anybody knows what to do? The solution is given in 1:18:48. Verse. Tiraskrita vipralabdhaha shapta kshiptahata prabho nasyatvat pratikurvanti tadbhaktah prabhavopihi. See, tiraskrita means ignored or disrespected. Tiraskrita vipralabdha means cheated. Shapta, cursed. Kshipta, agitated or angered. Or sometimes speaking in ways to irritate others. Kshipta. Hata means to kill. Nasyatat prati kurvanti. Vaishnava will not retaliate. This is the solution. He says, no retaliation is the best retaliation. He says, when anybody does this, any of these things to you, if you don't retaliate and go on with your devotional service, that retaliation is the best retaliation, he says. And it gives a reason also. What is the reason he gives? If we don't retaliate, then our material account with that person is cut short. And we avoid wasting time and energy with further series of retaliations. But common people don't follow this. Therefore, they are moved by lower modes of Rajaguna. They fight. Such very, very, very deep statements it is. Very deep statement. Which means common people in buses and trains and all you can see. One fellow will say one thing, other fellow will say, kya bola apne? Then he will say something, he will say something, back and forth. It becomes a big fight. Sometimes it becomes a physical fight, fist fight. Sometimes it can end up in murder also. Sometimes two caste people may come and murder one another also. It becomes a very big thing like that. So in this way, nasyatat patikurvanti says. So, in our life, if we can stop retaliating with those with whom we feel enmity, you will find that a lot of your time is saved, your energy is saved, and your material reactions and action and reaction is cut short with that person. Because when you speak something, he speaks something, our material account keeps increasing. Correct, no? So that can be cut short, he says. It's in 39th verse. Health is not good, and disrespect and neglect. And in the 40th verse, three more things he's saying. Unfriendly words and threats, and not able to give charity to the needy, and not able to keep up promise. In case somebody throws some unfriendly words at you or threats at you, Prabhuji, aap aisa karenge to report kar dunga. Prabhuji, aap aisa karenge to aapko vehicle nahi milega aapko. Prabhuji, if you don't keep your promise, you know, then I will take away that program from you and give it to another devotee or something like that. So when you get a threat or unfriendly, so what is the solution for that? There is a solution. Anybody knows? How to avoid threats from others or unfriendly words from others? I think many are still translating. They don't know any solution, I think, is it? If somebody throws unfriendly words at you or threats at you. Don't tell it the previous one. Here, be friendly with all. Then they won't be unfriendly with you. Like that he says. That is said in the verse 1:19:16. Bhagavatam 1:19:16. Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante ratim prasangascha tadashrayeshu mahatsuyamyamupayami srishtim sarvatra maitriyastu namo dvijebhyah. See, the last line is saying sarvatra maitriyastu. Let there be friendliness in all directions. And prior to that he is saying bhagavati anante, let me have unalloyed devotional service to Supreme Lord. Then he says let me have the association of devotees. He is saying three things. One is loving devotion service to Krishna, association of devotees and friendliness with all jivas. Why is he saying that? Because he put a dead snake in the neck of Samik Rishi, which is an unfriendly behavior. According to him, he felt it was an unfriendly behavior. Now, Sarmishta took Devyani and threw her into the dry well. That is also unfriendly behavior. Correct, no? Durvasa Muni creating a demon to kill Ambarish. Unfriendly behavior. Correct, no? Indra cutting off the head of Vishwarupa. Unfriendly behavior. Correct? So, in this way, you will find in this, in Bhagavatam also, you find examples of somebody getting into unfriendly behavior. As soon as you have unfriendly behavior, the enemy is created. And when there is an enmity, then there is threat. Correct, no? So in this way, unfriendly dealing and threat can be avoided by being friendly with all, big and small. So this slogan we will recite now. Be friendly with all, big and small. Likewise, small also is included. Once an elephant had enmity with some ants, correct, no? But the ant went inside his ears and caused the elephant to go berserk. Then the king ordered the elephant to be killed. So even a small ant can be a cause of trouble. Therefore we say, unnecessarily Prabhupada says, don't create enmity, don't increase enmity in this world. Be friendly with all, big and small. Very simple slogan, yes.
When there is threat coming, before acting friendly is understandable, friendly with everyone, so the threat will not come only. But when the threat is coming, how are we
So when threat comes, we should find out how to defend oneself. Correct, no? So one has to find out ways to defend oneself without attacking. Then when one has defended oneself, then one is protected. At the same time, unfriendliness is avoided. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj defended Pandavas from the attack of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra every time. See, what happened was, when Bhima was poisoned, no? And Bhima went underwater, and then the snakes bit him, and he picked up the snakes and bit them and all, and then he went to snake loka, Nagaloka he went, no? And then they understood he is a distant relative for us, because Bhima, whose side? Madhuri side, huh? The snake gods are related to Bhima through Madhuri side, I think, is it? Madhuri side? Kunti side, no? Kunti side only, yeah, Kunti side only. So they were related. So they thought that, oh, this is our friend. He is not our enemy. Then they gave him an elixir to drink. So they told, if you drink this elixir, you will get strength of a 10,000 elephants. Correct, no? So he drank the whole pot of that he drank. And it was, sometimes imagine you ate 4 glasses of sweet rice. Huh? How you feel? No, you feel like lying down. So he also lied down. When he slept, the whole elixir permeated through his body and made his body tenacious. And he got the strength of 10,000 elephants. Then he came out of water. So when Bhima came out of water, he wanted to finish off Duryodhana. Because he came to know what Duryodhana did. He wanted to kill Duryodhana. It was Yudhishthira Maharaj who stopped him. Yudhishthira told him, wait a minute. Shh, don't talk about it outside. Because we are in a kingdom where we are minority. We are only 5 Pandavas. But the whole rest of it, Kauravas are powerful. They are very mighty. And they are headed by Dhritarashtra. And Duryodhana is also at the top. We should not even show that we know what happened. So we have to keep quiet. So he made him quiet. So it was only between Bhima and Yudhishthira and Arjuna. They knew these things. So they kept quiet. They did not release anything. Because Chanakya says, before you attack, you should see the strength of yourself and the enemy. Before that, you cannot attack back. Foolishly, if you raise your weapon, it will be useless, he says. So he didn't attack. When they were sent to Varnavat Lakshagraha, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj called Bhima and Arjuna and asked, why is our uncle sending us to Varnavat? There is a Shiva, Lord Shiva's festival. There is some, and he is giving us a palace to live. If it is really a very joyful festival, why should he not send his 100 sons also? They can also come and stay with us in the palace. They can stay in other palaces. Why are they not coming? So Yudhishthira Maharaj may be very soft-natured, but he's shrewd also. Because he called and asked, Arjuna and Bhima said, kuch toh hai isme gadbad. Something, some problem in this. We are being sent alone. There is something, plot. Like that he also said. But usually Maharaj did not go to Dhritarashtra and say, hey, kya plan banaya aap log bata do. Directly he didn't ask Duryodhana also. But they asked their well-wisher, who? But Vidura could not speak when Pandavas were leaving for Varnavat. So all public was surrounding, people are hearing, what is going on. Because when Vidura is talking to Yudhishthir, Duryodhana must have definitely had spies. What this fellow is telling him? Is he releasing any secret? So what did Vidura say? He said, the soul cannot be burned by fire. Only the body can be burnt. He said, this Arjuna, I mean Duryodhana must have thought, theek hai, kuch to atma bodh chal raha hai. Because both are Krishna's devotees, they are speaking some philosophy. He thought, Bhagavad Gita class. He thought like that. But Vidura actually, Yudhishthir was intelligent to understand it. He understood. He says that the soul never dies in fire, but body dies. That means in that building there is a possibility of fire. That one thing he understood. And then he told something about this thing also, that Suranga you call it, no? A hole underground. He gave some clue about that. What did he say? One animal which survives in forest fire can escape through the underground hole. Like that he said. And he arranged for some people to make that hole for Pandava. So in this way, indirectly, which means, are Pandavas defending them or not? Are they attacking Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana? That. If you do that, you will be saved from threats. At the same time, you are from your side, you are friendly. Correct, no? So, but if attack is there, then both parties suffer. For example, somebody says, Tumhare dadaji ke dadaji ne hamare dadaji ke dadaji ko maar diya. Abhi hum chodenge nahi, tumko khatam kar denge. He takes a sword and cuts that other fellow's head. Then the other family members, his cousin and uncle and aunt, they all come together. Hey, we can't live in this village peacefully. This fellow, due to some old problem, he killed our relative. I heard one of our devotees was telling, in one village, one family was against another family. So they put some poison in the well water only. So that when that family will drink the water, all their family members will die. They did like that. But when they did that, some other people who came for drawing water also died also. So this kind of swan enmity can be there, and it doesn't stop with one generation. It goes generation after generation. Therefore, in this world, we should try to defend ourselves and unnecessarily not increase unfriendliness. Correct, no? Yeah. You're telling me too hard to tell this. You can't drink on it. So, that is one... Okay, which one I told you? Unfriendly words and threats we can avoid by being friendly with all. Not able to give charity to the needy. Like for example, you are going in a car, some at signal, some beggars are begging for some prasad. Many times we don't carry prasad. So once my spiritual master was telling one devotee that in your car, if you don't have prasad, don't ask me to travel with you. Because there should always be prasad to give to beggars. Chant Hare Krishna and you give them. So, sometimes the fellow has prasad in the bag. By the time you open the bag and take out the dabba, the signal is over and you have to go ahead. And the beggar is extending the hand and coming running, but you have to drive the vehicle. How many of you will feel pained at heart? Correct, no? So, that's what he is saying. When somebody is needy, you fail to give charity, we feel a pinch. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, by not giving charity to the needy, you become hard-hearted, he says. Therefore, he said, if you don't have prasad, you have to give money. He told his disciples, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Somebody may ask, but if I give money, if he does smoking or drinking, I will also get a part of karma. Yeah, that was your problem because you forgot to carry prasad. So therefore, you carry prasad always. And another thing is not able to keep a promise. Where you're not able to keep your promise to someone, that also causes dejection. So here he says, if you cannot keep up your promise, keep your mouth shut, he says. Which means, don't promise anyone anything. If any of us sitting here, we made many, many promises and we failed. So what should we do? Keep our mouth shut. Don't give any more promises. Jitna diya abhi ho gaya abhi. Aage jaka promise mat karna kuch. So there's a saying, under promise, over deliver. Like for example, once one devotee wanted Chaitanya Charan Prabhu to edit his book. But he wanted it by, you know, something like October he wanted, end of October. But Chaitanya Charan Prabhu at that time was extremely busy. So he came and told me, Prabhuji is a senior devotee, he is asking for the book to be edited, I am too busy, Prabhuji, what to do? I told him, tell him, you know, that you are too busy. No, no, Prabhuji, I told him I am busy. He says, no, please, please try, please try. And then I told him, then he said that I couldn't say no to him, Prabhuji, so I took up. So are you going to complete in October? He said, no, Prabhu, I don't think I'll be able to spend time. Then I suggested him, you go and tell him that by December you will complete the book. If he is satisfied with that, it's all right. He said, no, Prabhuji, as soon as October gets over, November month I have time, in November month I'll finish, he said. I said, don't say that. You say December and you deliver it in November. So what will happen to that person? He will be ecstatic because you have under-promised and over-delivered, isn't it? So then he did that. Then he told the devotee that I can only do it by December. Then the Prabhuji gave, when he got in November, the Prabhuji became very happy. Now that way he, Chanchanpur was not pushed before October. Correct, no? Therefore, if you promise, you have to keep it. You cannot break it. And if you break the promise, imagine you say December and you have not moved anything at all. When Prabhuji comes, you say, sorry Prabhuji, here is your book, you take it, I didn't get time, okay, no? He will say that if you didn't get time, you should have told me before. I could have given it to somebody else. Correct, no? So in this way, we should not promise. If you cannot keep promise, yes, I. Another, in the next verse, he says, not being able to give protection. See, that was next one. If you could not protect some deserving living entities like children or cows, women, brahmanas or diseased people, then one feels sad, especially Kshatriya. If you could not protect somebody, he feels very sad. Because it's Kshatriya dharma to offer protection, no? If one does not protect when one can protect, then one feels that I have failed in my duty. That causes dejection. And in dealing with women have to be respected as mothers. That also is covered in the next one, in the verse number 42. Have you contacted a woman of impeachable character? Or have you not properly treated a deserving woman? Like that he is asking. Which means, a Kshatriya may marry a woman by offering her shelter and accept a woman. Or a Kshatriya will not contact a undeserving woman, like somebody like unchaste woman or impure woman. So one may not contact like that. Have you contacted because of which you are feeling unhappy? Like Ajamila contacted an impure woman. Result? Terrible suffering he had to undergo. He became a thief, he became a murderer, he became a looter. And he had to see Yamadutas face to face, correct? No? So did you contact some improper woman? He's asking. So one should see all women as mothers. And one should not have improper relationships. So he's asking, did you have anything like that? He's asking. Then he's asking, were you conquered by your inferiors or equals? So regarding that, Mother is saying here, naturally, being defeated by others leads us to dejection. But the best way to conquer anything in this world is through hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. He's saying, Tato Jayam Udhirayet. He's saying, yeah, that's the best means of conquest, he's telling. So, if somebody, that is coming in the next, in the 43rd verse, if you see. Other things are coming. Yeah, right. Where is this coming? conquered by inferiors is coming later. 42nd is there? Yeah, 42nd only. Ah, correct, correct. Have been defeated on the way by someone who is inferior or equal to you. Yeah, correct. So, Prabhupada says something in the purport of 42nd. A higher caste boy can marry a lower caste girl. Like Arjuna and Pandavas, they were dressed as brahmanas, no? When they went to Swayamvara of Draupadi. So, Drupada didn't mind giving Draupadi in marriage to a brahmana. He was not a brahmana, kshatriya only, but looked like a brahmana. Who? Arjuna. Because a higher caste boy can marry a lower caste girl. So that is all, that's called pratiloma. But a lower caste boy cannot marry a higher caste girl. Imagine the girl is a brahmani and the boy belongs to a barber shop. He's a barber or like that. Can he marry? What is it? It is pratiloma. I said, sorry, the first one is anuloma, this is pratiloma. First one is anuloma means boy is of a higher caste, girl is of a lower caste. That is anuloma. When boy is of a lower caste and girl is of a higher caste, that is pratiloma. That is not allowed actually. Like Yayati Maharaj had to marry Devayani. He is a kshatriya but marrying a brahmani. So that is pratiloma, not good. Why? Then what will happen? He will pull her down to kshatriya nature. He will pull the wife to kshatriya nature rather than elevating wife. Whereas if a brahmana, like Kardama Muni is marrying a kshatrani, who is it? Devahuti. So that is the anulama marriage. Because he can elevate her to transcendental platform. So Prabhupada explains those kind of things. See, in the next paragraph you read, second paragraph, it is abominable for a kshatriya. Read that. The purport 42, second last.
It is abominable for a kshatriya to be defeated by one who is inferior in strength or equal in strength. If one is defeated at all, he should be defeated by some superior power. Arjuna was defeated by Bhishma Dev, and Lord Krishna saved him from the danger. This was not an insult for Arjuna because Bhishma Dev was far superior to Arjuna in all ways, namely age, respect and strength. But Karna was equal to Arjuna, and therefore Arjuna was in crisis when fighting with Karna. It was felt by Arjuna, and therefore Karna was killed even by crooked means. Such are the engagements of the Kshatriyas, and Maharaj Yudhishthir inquired from his brother whether anything undesirable happened on the way home from Dwarka.
Yeah. So, he's giving an example. Equal is Karna. Karna Arjuna fight is equal fight. Or to be defeated by infidel coward man, which comes later. That is like getting defeated by a inferior. Correct, no? Like that, yeah. That also causes dejection. And not caring for old men and children. And not feeding them. Yeah. So that is also, that makes us very selfish, you know. Not taking care of them. Especially taking care means feeding them prasad, sharing our prasad with them. If you find especially old, invalid men and young children, boys. Actually, I used to accompany Radha Gopinath Prabhu in Chopadi Temple for Food for Life. Used to go. And do Jordar Kirtan in the slums. And all the slum children, 30, 40 children will come. They will all come with their plates. From distance only, they will raise the hands and jump. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that, they will show the gadi. So, then we will make a circle and dance with them. So, they are slum children, poor children. Nobody is going to look at them. But if we go, make them chant, dance, give them prasad, look at their bright face, smiling joyfully, then we also feel a great joy. And so therefore one should be very magnanimous to the suffering souls, those who are insignificant, who are not very prominent. Because generally what happens, when we are only associating ourselves with very dignified, elite people, dignified people, people holding positions like political posts, somebody was telling, oh, he is such an architect, you know. Even for Shah Rukh Khan, he said, no, I cannot do it. But we have captured a big fish. You know, we have brought him to do our architecture or something like that. Okay, you got somebody, a very big fish, you got it. But if you always associate with high-level people, but you never get a chance to see the slum children and the very power have-nots, as we say, associate with them, then there will be a dust of material dust which will come to us, which is very risky for us, and especially by high-level association. We have to be very careful. Like even our student preaching, sometimes our boys too much glorify, you know, university toppers, is All India rank 1, is All India rank 30, All India rank 15. Once in a while, if you talk, it's all right. This cannot be a very regular talk. Because all the time, if you are going to respect them, imagine if some boy is an average boy, how will we look at him? Good for nothing. Kuch kaam ka nahi, what is this? And therefore, some preachers, you send them to some city, they will say, Prabhuji, in this city there are no colleges, they will say. Are I heard there are 120 colleges. They will say, none of them are useful, they will say. You understand, no? Now, Prabhupada didn't find out such a IIT type of college, you know, or NIT to preach. He preached in the hippie land. And he made so many devotees and started a whole worldwide movement, you can see that. You understand, no? So, but on the other hand, when you, like Prabhupada is going to reach out to the hippies, cooking for them, feeding them prasad, making devotees out of them, correct, no? He made, that gives great joy to the heart of the person doing it, and his generosity also touches the living entities and they get elevation in Krishna consciousness also. Therefore, he is telling, not caring for old men and boys and not feeding them, that causes dejection also. Actually, our pratishta dust, we can call it, the pratishta dust coming from high-level association and our neglect of insignificant below the poverty line people and not associating with them, this can cause mental dejection also. So therefore, we should not too much categorize the society as, you know, hey, he's a bada party, he's this, he's the chota party, and too much of distinction like that is dangerous for us. Therefore, he's saying that we have to be so generous that we respect a living entity even born in a slum also. We respect old, invalid men. Imagine, for example, you see in a train, somebody is a varkari, he's singing on the veena, you know, he's a blind man. Sometimes he comes. So common people may not know his value. He may be old man, but he is singing Lord's names. So how do we share the Krishna-given gifts that we have? So once we gave full prasad to such a varkari, one devotee, we came across. Because we had extra prasad with us. So you share. So when you share with a generous heart, who feels happy? Both feel happy. He feels happy because he is on the receiving end. We feel happy because Krishna is happy with us. That we are willing to share with somebody who is insignificant. We may think we are very big, but by sharing something like that, our generosity actually is pleasing to Lord. When Lord is pleased, Ayatma Suprasidati principle. We also become cheerful, you see. And he is telling, loss of intimate relatives or friends. That is the 10th reason. Where is that coming? 44. Or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming so dejected. So, before talking about Krishna, he is using the word loss of some intimate friend. So that Maharaj has made it into 10. And the 11th one is separation from Krishna, like that he has made. So he has separated the two. 10th is intimate relative or friend. It's true, no? Like imagine one of your near and dear relatives has died, passed away. It's very painful to our heart because we associated with them, we have dined with them, joked with them, heard them, shared our hearts with them, taken guidance from them, taken help from them, given help to them. So having associated with them closely, the physical association of meeting and especially the mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister, family, friend, circle. If somebody is very close to you and they are lost, they die, It's very painful for a person. So here he says, Maharaj is saying about that, he says that this is not under our control. Therefore, we should not be dejected. So the body is destined to be destroyed. Therefore, it is better for one to keep one's focus on eternal destination, both for one's own sake and for the real benefit of others. Yeah. So this is a philosophical point, that like in one of the songs where a person has lost his wife, the husband has lost his wife. Lost means she died, passed away prematurely due to some disease or something like that. So how does he take it? So there's a song. Only problem is the song is in Tamil. You won't understand. Some of you will understand. I will tell you the song. Ponal pohattum poda inda bhoomiyil nilayai vaandavar yarada. He's saying, this lady has passed away. Okay, let she pass. In this world, on this earth, who has lived permanently? He's asking. Sonarganpu understood, correct? He knows Tamil, he knows. So who has lived in this world permanently? Everybody's body is temporary. Whether it is mother or father or grandmother, grandfather, my body, even my body also. Everybody's body will go away. So by taking this philosophy into consideration, we should become peaceful. Therefore, Krishna also, you know what he did? Krishna is a good friend, philosopher and guide. First he is a friend. He is riding the chariot. Whatever the friend is requesting, he is fulfilling. And then when Arjuna is crying, please give me an answer to this, then he is speaking philosophy. And after hearing philosophy, Arjuna is enlightened. Thank you for this wonderful philosophy. And Krishna says, now I will become your guide and tell you what to do practically. So you find Krishna becoming all the three. So when some intimate friend is lost, it causes deep pinch to the heart. Just like Parampuja Gaur Krishna Maharaj. We had invited him for the Utkarsh time. So there were 700-800 boys attended the program. And then I met Maharaj in the room and said, Maharaj, your lecture was very special. Our devotees deeply appreciated it. And all these are students from engineering college, first year, second year. So now I have decided every year we want to call you for this type of Utkarsh lecture. You know what he told me? Radheshyamji, me to saral ye ग्रामीण भक्त हूँ, मेरे अंदर कुछ योग्यता नहीं है. ऐसे बड़े बड़े पढ़े लिखे बच्चों के सामने बैठकर क्या बड़ा प्रवचन दे सकता हूँ मैं. हम तो बिहार में गांव-गांव में घूमते थे हमारे गुरु महाराज के साथ, और प्रवचन भी कुछ बोलते नहीं थे. महाराज बोलते थे, हम लोग सुनते थे. ऐसे हमने 10-15 साल बिता दिया महाराज के साथ, और हमारे अंदर कुछ योग्यता नहीं है. लेकिन आप हमको ऊपर बिठा कर कथा करने के लिए बोला, आपके आदेश को हमने पालन किया. इट्स वेरी वेरी हम्बल डिवोटी. सो आई गॉट एसोसिएट विद हिम वेरी इंटीमेटली पर्सनली, आस्किंग क्वेश्चंस एंड ऑब्जर्विंग हिज बिहेवियर. इट वाज सो हेल्पफुल. सो व्हेन वृंदावन यात्रा हैपेंड, एक्चुअली बिफोर द वृंदावन यात्रा, टू थ्री मंथ्स बिफोर दैट आई हैड गॉन फॉर हिज सन्यास ओनली वन डे. इट वॉज वन डे प्रोग्राम. सो आई वेंट टू दिल्ली. I took a flight and went to Delhi and went to Haridwar, and there was the Sanyas festival at the bank of Ganga. Parampuja Radhagund Maharaj was giving, and so after the Sanyas was over, there were hundreds and thousands of people from worldwide had come to meet him. He kept all of them aside and he took me and sat with me. He said, "Aapko flight pakadna hai, aapko jana hai. Pahle aapse baat kar lunga, uske baad unse baat karunga." So everybody, because it's their god brother, senior god brother taking sannyas, they want to click photos. Outside was jam-packed. You could see only head on the doors. So he was sitting with me very leisurely. Only half an hour he was speaking. Many wonderful things we shared. So when I was in Vrindavan Yatra, again he called me on phone and said, "Radheshyamji, hum milenge udhar. Main yatra, main lecture ke liye aa raha hun roj," he said. So every day he came and sat and attended lecture of Ranath Maharaj. And then in the outside, in the tree outside, we were sitting and talking. Afternoon we used to talk also like that. So suddenly one day in Vrindavan, only when I was there, I was about to leave in a couple of days, I think, after that. The early morning I came to know that Maharaj passed, Gaurakrishna Maharaj passed away in the early morning hours, Brahma Muhurta hours, for 4:30 or 5. So it was a big shock, because the previous night only I had met him in my room only. We were sitting and talking for about half an hour, 45 minutes or so. Next day morning I heard. So it was a very shocking thing. Later on devotees told me that he ate some pakoda or something like that, you know, which was a little oily. And he had a heart problem which he didn't attend to before. Devotees used to tell him, you should take a cardiac test. I mean, you should do bypass or something if need be. You know, he just neglected and said, ye kya sharir rakshana bangur hai, jab marna hai mar jayega wo. Jitna samay Bhagwan ne time dala hai rahne ka, baat mein loud chalne ka. So he took it very lightly. So therefore, he got a heart attack in the night, and early morning he was rushed to the hospital, he passed away. So, of course, the pakoda is the immediate cause, you know. There are remote causes, ultimate cause. Krishna has put some term for him in this world, and then he has taken him away. So it was a very painful thing for me, because when it's very rare in this world to get nice friends, especially people with whom your heart can resonate, and you can understand them, and they can understand you, and we can take help spiritually, and you can get inspired by them. It's not very easy. So, I later on realized, actually, he had personally gifted me a CD of his Chaitanya Charitamrita lectures, which he spoke, you know, complete CC and CB he had spoken. I actually wanted to hear it, and I had some specific questions to be asked from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I was actually keeping it for the future, but before that he left, you know. So from that I learned one lesson, that we should not take great personalities very cheaply in our life, and we should take full advantage when they are alive. In this world, generally people glorify a person when? Kaisa admita Prabhuji. Aisete. People talk big things after a person passes only. When he is alive, people don't take advantage, correct, no? So, in this way, here he is saying that when an intimate relative or friend is lost, it's very painful. And then the 11th one, he says, separation from Krishna. Feeling bereft of Krishna is the ultimate cause of dejection and sadness. To avoid this, we have to follow the devotional service through chanting the holy name, studying Shastra, serving Lord and devotees constantly, he's telling. In these three activities, we can always realize Krishna, and hence we will never be separated from Krishna. These devotional activities are the source of supreme joy, he is telling. So what are the three things? Chanting the holy name, studying Shastra, and serving the Lord and devotees. How often? Constantly, he is telling. When you do this, he says you will get supreme joy. So that was the last one. And then he's saying, or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming so dejected, he's telling. See, Prabhupada writes in the purport, so even though he was doubtful about it, he was obliged to inquire frankly from Arjuna on the basis of Sri Narada's indication. Last line in the purport. So in this way, Yudhishthira is inquiring, and Arjuna will be answering in the subsequent chapter. So there was one short, quick question. See, he's asking some devotee here. Even when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, Kali Yuga symptoms started manifesting. He was a powerful, pure devotee emperor of the world, but still it is happening. Krishna's absence caused it, but then Yudhishthira Maharaj's strength of devotional service and ruling shouldn't have kept Kali away? Should it not have kept Kali away, he's asking. Actually, the Bhagavatam says that Kali is like acid rain. We have to give one umbrella to our well-wishers, so that they can prevent themselves from the acid rain. Otherwise, if you are going out in the open rainy place, then the rains will create bruises all over your body, burns everywhere, correct, no? So we have to give a protective, so that protective umbrella is like the four regulative principles, and the shelter of ISKCON that is provided, correct, no? So even though Yudhishthira Maharaj may be a pure devotee or any other pure devotee for that matter, Maya's forces cannot be checked by us. But we can protect ourselves from Maya's forces. But Maya will continue to keep kicking other people. Like for example, the waves of the ocean cannot be stopped. But a helicopter can come and hook us and take us up. Then you can be above the waves of samsara. Like that. Therefore, what we have to do, that is why I told you the effect of Kala. Within the four walls of our campus, let outside there be Kali's full influence. But the temple premises should be kept Kali-free. For that, everybody should cooperate. For example, in this temple campus, we want to keep cleanliness. Say somebody is sneezing their nose. Somebody is smoking a cigarette and throwing a piece of cigarette. Or somebody is crampling the paper and, you know, throwing some paper ball or something like that. Imagine, similarly somebody is throwing some sabji peels here and there. It's very unclean, correct, no? Somebody is throwing some Bisleri bottles. So for cleanliness to happen, how many people's cooperation is required? Everybody's, without exception. So therefore some organizations put boards also, correct, no? Please keep cleanliness, don't blow your nose here. They put all this, no? Don't spit here. Especially for Indians, you have to write in the railway station and all. We have kept one spittoon for you. Go there and spin. Sab disha mein mat thuko. Two here, two everywhere, all over the place. Correct, no? So, thuking habit is there, in people. So, they have to be told, correct, no? People also throw here and there. So, in this way, we have to... cleanliness is the responsibility of everybody. Same way, if we have to keep Kali away, it is how many people's responsibility? Each one's. Nobody can be exempted. One fellow is letting Kali in. See, Kali is like a snake. Imagine if one of us let a snake inside this hall, then how many people will be in trouble? Everybody. Therefore, we have to make sure that everybody is given the defensive mechanism from Kali and they are not allowed to, you know, bring Kali inside. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was a powerful king and Parikshit was also powerful. Parikshit also saw the ill effects of Kali and then he checked Kali and then he flooded the country with Sankirtan everywhere. So by Sankirtan, and he also utilized all the gold and silver, all the money away in Sankirtan movement. He didn't keep holding the gold, because holding gold will also become a place for Kali to reside. So in this way he spent it all very intelligently. So Kali was shocked. As long as this fellow is alive, I cannot sneak in. Not possible. Therefore, when Krishna came to Kurukshetra, that time the Kali also, Vishnu Chakra Thakur has written his commentary. Kali comes there and says, "My dear Lord, it seems I have no scope in this world. Although my age has started, this Parikshit is not allowing. This fellow is not letting me what I should do." And the Lord says, "No, now the time will come and Parikshit will leave the world. After that, you will take over." He says that. So after Parikshit left the world, Bhagavatam came to protect the devotees. And those who are not devotees will be swept away by Kali. So we are all devotees, so we should take firm shelter of Bhagavatam. And we should not let Kali enter into our system. Into our system or into our community, correct, no? So in this way, we have to keep Kali away. So in the next few chapters, we will read more about Kali. It will be more clear. Srila Prabhupada ki.